The effort of evil to destroy the English language. With the birth of science and health, there was also the Herod present to slay. This time, however, it appeared not as a person, but more impersonally as a nation. What was the clothing of science and health? Was it not the English language? Then would not the effort of evil be to destroy that language in order to get rid of science and health, the young child of today? How did evil attempt to do this? Once again, let me remind you that if you do not think in terms of impersonality, you will find it impossible to follow the unfoldment of good or to follow the machinations of evil in its attempt to destroy that good. You will find yourself in a state of rebellion, an attitude of mind which, of course, precludes the possibility of further enlightenment. The problem, then, confronting evil, was the destruction of the English language. How was this to be brought about? The history of this can only be touched upon here, for the time is too short to go into it fully. Each one can think and study it out for himself. You are all familiar with the rise of what is called the German Empire. It centered around Prussia, the outstanding young Protestant giant, the most promising and progressive country of continental Europe in 1866. From that date to 1870, it grew by leaps and bounds, becoming surer of its own strength and power each year. This assurance was increased immeasurably in 1870, when the Franco-Prussian War made Germany, in a few short months, the dictator of continental Europe. From being a giant stripling full of Protestant earnestness and virility, she became year by year more dominating and aggressive. She dreamed dreams of putting the world under her feet and thus became ripe to do the bidding of evil. You will find, if you take the trouble to do so, that gradually, step by step, there grew up through deliberate propaganda in Germany, first an educated dislike, then a contempt for, and finally a hatred of the English language, so that when the hour came for evil to make its deadly thrust at destroying the young child in 1914, the entire venom of the hatred of Germany was turned on the English language and, incidentally, on all English-speaking people. Do you not see why this was? Would it not be necessary, in order to destroy the English language, to get rid of every English-speaking person by prohibiting the use of the English language? It had been the custom of Germany to stamp out the language of the people she conquered by compelling the use of her own language. Alsace and Lorraine afford a striking example of this method. Here again, Germany was ripe to become the tool of evil. Mrs. Eddy's revelation was in English, and that revelation can never be successfully translated. No translation can be satisfactory, for no translation can stand as correct, except for a limited period of time. English came as the language of spirit to Mrs. Eddy, and she alone expressed the spirit of Christian Science in its exact letter. In order, therefore, for science and health to be in any other language, Mrs. Eddy would have had to write it in that language, and this she could not have done without the same scholarly understanding that she had of English. Mrs. Eddy truly states, We are indeed privileged in having the untranslated revelations of Christian Science. America and Great Britain are the two great English-speaking nations. Hence, there was only one thing for evil to do, ridiculous as it may sound, and that was to crush those nations in order to destroy science and health, the young child clothed in the English language. Would this endeavour of evil to wipe out the English-speaking nations be any more absurd and atrocious than the one expressed by Herod in slaying all the children of 2 years and under in Bethlehem and in the coasts thereof? If evil would do the one, would it not do the other to accomplish its purpose? Who would dare to say that evil, in its infinite capacity of evil, would not do this? Because it failed in its purpose as it did of old with the child Jesus, does that mean that it did not attempt to do it? But does this mean that evil has put a stigma upon any so-called mortal, whether appearing as an American or an Englishman or a German, or under any name that may be given to the mortal? Evil is just as impersonal as good, but evil had and always has a deadly hatred for the truth, not because it knows the truth, but because of its inherent nature of being the suppositional opposite of the truth, just as ignorance, by its very nature of being ignorant, hates the intelligence of which it is the suppositional opposite. Human reason always has a plausible excuse for what it does. So it gave as the reason for the world war that Germany was demanding a place in the sun, that she was being throttled by other nations and so forth. Was this excuse any different in the slightest or any truer in its relation to what was done than was the claim that Herod's crown was being threatened by the young child Jesus? You cannot afford to be deceived. Evil is always evil, and its subtleties are infinite. But evil must inevitably fail because there is no substance to it. So you saw it utterly fail in the World War. You saw the English language protected, and you saw science and health left free to go forward.